or does there as we do being there. And you are an essential part of, if I could call it a team, partnering together. And we really want to thank you. Without you, this would not be possible. And what a privilege it is to serve the Lord. The joy of seeing the Lord work, of just being in His work. And there's nothing like it to do His will. I want for you to open your Bibles tonight to Romans 12. I'm going to take just 2 minutes here. Almost. I'm going to give most of the time to reporting on the work and then give you an opportunity to ask some questions. But just want to take a look at a very familiar passage of Scripture in Romans 12. In fact, probably most of us in here could quote these two verses. I'm not going to have you do that. I'm going to read it. You're going to follow along. But Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. And just want to say this, that obviously the chapter numbers were not there, but what Paul has done and what we know as the first 11 chapters of this letter, he has emphasized the mercies of God. He has targeted the righteousness of God, why, what it is, why we need that, how to be declared righteous with God. And so much there. And we come to the first two verses of what we know as chapter 12. And he says this, you look down now with me at your Bible, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, which he has just taken 11 chapters to explain. He is arguing with us on the basis of what Christ has done for us. I beseech you, therefore, when you see a therefore, this is trite, when you see a therefore, you want to see when it's therefore. So you knew it, right? It's so trite. But it's true, isn't it? Therefore, it takes you back to what we have just looked at in those 11 chapters. And he's building his argument on those 11 chapters. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, now look at your Bible, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But what Paul is concerned about there, what is Paul concerned about in those two verses? I mean, if you work your way down through those two verses, you come right down to the end of verse 2, what is Paul concerned about? He's concerned about what? That ye may prove what? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? How do I know God's will? Sharing with Pastor over supper table tonight, my dad just went home to be with the Lord 2 weeks ago, and 91 years old, faithful in the ministry, the evangelism, the pastorate, and he was saved. I remember him telling this. I told Pastor as a child, my siblings and I went with my dad to some of his evangelistic meetings, and I heard him more than once say to he just recounted his testimony, how he was saved on June the 15th. I think that was his birthday. June the 18th is his conversion. June the 18th, 1940. That's the way he said it. He was saved. And he was called. It seemed like he was called. His conversion and his call to preach were almost simultaneous. Almost the same night that he trusted Christ, he knew that God wanted him to preach. And to look at his life, to look back now at his life, I could see that he never looked back when God called him. He knew what God wanted him to do, the will of God. We need preachers. We need men called to the ministry. And my dad, his passion was for preaching. But right here in this passage of Scripture, Paul presents, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul tells us how to know God's will. First of all, very simple here. What's the first thing you have to do? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's that sacrificial metaphor there. We're to put our lives on the altar. My body, what is my body? What's my hands? It's my ears. It's my feet, my mind, it's my whole body. Present it as a living sacrifice. Lord, here are my hands. Here's my mouth. Here are my eyes. Lord, here they are. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not going to look in this deeply tonight, but I want you to just remember these three things. First of all, we got to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Verse 2, and here's a negative. And be not conformed to this world. In Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might save us, deliver us from, and then he describes the world, from this present, he uses an adjective then, world. This present, you know that adjective there? What is it? Evil world. Be not conformed to that. So there's going to be a present, if I'm going to know God's will, what God wants me to do, then I'm going to have to present my body. Here, Lord, here, to stretch myself out on the altar, holding back nothing. And then don't be conformed to this world system that is in an orchestrated opposition against God. Don't do that. I can't do that if I'm going to know God's will. And we could take a long time explaining all of that. But then, thirdly, look down at your Bible. Be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed. Metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Presentation, my body. Don't be conformed to the world. My mind being transformed. How does that happen? How's it going to be changed? It's going to be by the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We're told there, that just paraphrasing, that we open up the Word of God. It's like a mirror. Looking into the Word, we see the glory of the Lord. It's by the Holy Spirit of God that we're changed. Changed from one degree, I'm going to put it like this, from one degree of character to another. From glory to glory, change. The same word is used there. It's transformed. I'm going to be changed in the Word of God so I can think God's thoughts after Him. So then that I may prove, put to the test, what is, and look at how it's described here, what is the good? The will of God is good. The good and acceptable and perfect, complete will of God. You say, how do I know what God's will is for me? Just do that. Get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, help me to present my body. Lord, help me not to be conformed to this world. Lord, I want to be transformed. That is a supernatural process, whereby the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, changes us into the image of Christ, knowing the will of God. And the Lord has called us to Korea. And we, by God's grace, are endeavoring to do the will of God. And you are part of the ministry in Korea. And we surely appreciate it. Well, I want to show now, I think I have tested it. It says Norton Utilities. I want to explain about Norton Utilities. So how do I get, let me just go over it. Can I do that with this? Okay. How do I do that? Let's see here. How do I get rid of that? Well, that won't work. That's a little laser pointer. Can you get that? Okay. Scan results. There's one thing that needs to be repaired, so we'll take care of that later. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yes. Let's see. Yeah, I'm pressing the forward. Okay. I think that'll... There we go. Okay. I'm just going to read there. We have had the privilege of ministering to and with Korean people within and outside of Korea since 1980. And I put it that way because for 4 years, we were in Vancouver, British Columbia. And that was a Korean immigrant ministry. But what a joy it is to be able to serve the Lord to minister to these people, have them minister to us. A lot of the places where we go, people ask us about our family. Aaron and Naomi Collier, Naomi is our daughter. She and her husband Aaron are out in Seattle, Washington, where Aaron is pastoring out there. They've been there 2 years. And then Joshua, our youngest, lives with them, and he's helping in the church, finishing up his degree, and has a job there in Seattle as well. And then Daniel and Karen. Daniel is our oldest son, and he and his family live in Duncan, South Carolina, and they are seeking God's will for a full-time ministry, possibly to Madagascar. And then there also is Jonathan and Krista, and Jonathan is youth pastor up at Bible Baptist Church in Matthews, North Carolina, near Charlotte. And finally, there's Andrew, and he is at Bob Jones University working on a PhD. Well, let's remind ourselves of the location of South Korea. You notice that there, the little red there, that is the South Korea. It shares the peninsula of Korea with North Korea, Russia, China, Japan. And Korea has always been the battleground for fighting between these major powers. It's always been the booty of these nations, and so they have known war throughout their history. About the same size as the state of Indiana. Indiana's population is 6.5 million people, and South Korea's population 48.8 million people. Very highly, densely populated. South Korea is home to Hyundai, also Kia, as well as LG and Samsung and Hanguk Tires and Kumho Tires. Maybe you're running on some of those tonight. I don't know. You're calling on something like that. It's also home to 4 of the 10 largest churches in the world. There is Yoido Full Gospel Church, Assemblies of God, 230,000. Now that includes cell groups around the city of Seoul. There is also Onori, All Nations Community Church. It's Christian Missionary Alliance with 65,000, again, with cell groups around the city. There's Pyongyang Central Presbyterian Church with 60,000, and then finally Nambu Full Gospel Church with 50,000. But it doesn't stop there. There's 34 other churches with congregations between 2,000 and 30,000. And South Korea now is now second only to the United States in the number of missionaries that it sends out. And so maybe you're sitting there and you're wondering, well, why then are you, or why are we in South Korea? Well, before I answer that question, I want to go to just a short history here. Horace Underwood was the first Presbyterian missionary in South Korea, came in 1885, along with Harry Appenzeller, a Methodist. In fact, they stepped on the soil of the Korean Peninsula the same day. It was April 5th, 1885, Sunday. And then there was Malcolm Fenwick, a Canadian. He was the first Baptist missionary in Korea. And the reason I mention these men is because they preached the gospel. They preached that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that all of us by nature and practice are sinners before God, and that we are saved only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, in His finished work. They preached that Jesus Christ completely exhausted the wrath of God when He died on the cross for our sins, and that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. We are declared righteous. These men preach that. There is no other way solidly, but it's changed. Religiously, South Korea, no religion of those 48 million people, almost half of them claim no religion. Buddhism, 23.2%, Protestantism, 19.7%, Catholicism, 6.6%, others, 1.3%. Let me go back there. There was a recent blog by a Korean-American pastor after visiting Korea. He came back to the States, got on his computer, blogged, and here's what he said after talking to pastors in Korea. He said, many now believe that the Korean church, on the whole, is in a season of decline. The prevailing approach tends to have an unbalanced emphasis. Notice this, an unbalanced emphasis of evangelism and church growth without as much emphasis on church health, comma, that is, how the gospel changes us. The prevailing expectation is that the world will continue to come into the church, effectively creating an ingrown church that lacks the means to reach out. And I agree wholeheartedly with that. And I might add that the gospel that they are preaching, the evangelism, the gospel that they're spreading is not the true gospel. It's a works gospel. It's a social gospel. It's not the gospel of scriptures. And so then why are we in Korea? Because God has called us, first of all. And then also to carry on a Bible education ministry, giving men the tools to preach and plant churches, instructing Christian workers, to provide a conservative and a fundamental place of worship and service for foreign business community, English-speaking Koreans, and U.S. military in the Seoul area. Also, to maintain a ready posture, make contacts, and research means to reach North Korea with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was Seoul in 1950, a population of about 1 million people. And this is Seoul in 2012, a population of over 10 million people. A beautiful city, about 25 million in the metro area, making it the second largest metropolitan area after Tokyo. And this is the place where God has called us. And this is the place where you're partnering with us in the gospel. Very modern city. And beautiful, combining the ancient with the modern here. This is the place where we minister. All three ministries, as Pastor said, all three ministries here, the three ministries that he mentioned are here. The Lord gave us this building. We were able to purchase this building about 5 years ago, and we praise the Lord for this place. Bob Jones Memorial Institute started in 1972. My wife's father, Jerry Johnson, began the institute to train men. And since then, there have been about 600 graduates and 100-plus churches in South Korea, also in other foreign countries, Koreans going out as missionaries. We praise the Lord for the men that He has raised up and who have graduated over the years. Just got news that another man has been ordained just this past week to the gospel ministry, and he is going to Russia as a missionary, reaching Koreans in Russia. This is one of the churches that have been built by one of our graduates, doing a good work there, Pastor Lee. There's a lot of Pastor Lees, okay? But we praise the Lord for what he is doing through these men. We also have coming up some fellow GFA missionaries from Philippines. Here is Tim Berry. We appreciate his ministry. We've also gone down there, and I'll say more about that in just a moment. But the second part of the ministry also is Soul Bible Church. It is an international ministry. And we thank the Lord for the folks that he has brought together, folks he has saved, who are being discipled. We praise the Lord for the ladies who are taking part in ministering to the children and seeing what the Lord is doing there as well. We like to eat at Soul Bible Church, and we have a lot of pictures of that just to prove it. But good fellowship goes on around the tables. Soul Christian School is another part of the ministry. The Soul Christian School faculty choir singing. They are an integral part. They're a core of the ministry there. I want to say something about what we've done over the last 4 years. 2010, Barbara and I got to go down to Manila, Philippines, where they have Bob Jones Bible College there, and had some good fellowship. I was able to speak at their graduation. And also, we were able to go to Hong Kong and preached and taught a block course there at the Chinese Fundamental Baptist Institute. And praise the Lord for these men who are taking a good stand there, doing a good work. Telling you about work, the Lord's work in and through lives. This is Peter and Ji-Yun. They're part of our ministry at the International Church. And they have started a little Christian school just south of Seoul, and they have about 150 students there. Pray for Peter and Ji-Yun for encouragement for them. This is Dr. Lee Sang-hoon. You prayed for him, for his salvation. He came to our church. He came the first Sunday he was there. He asked me, he said, I want to be baptized. Okay. We need to sit down and talk about this. Okay. And we did. We were able to sit down with him, explain that baptism is for believers in Jesus Christ only. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? No. He came several more Sundays. And then he trusted Christ as his Savior. The reason he wanted a baptismal certificate because he was applying for a teaching position at a Christian university. And they said, all you need to do is bring the baptismal certificate and we'll process your application. We praise the Lord for, even though he came for the wrong reason, the Lord worked in that and saved him. This is Mr. and Mrs. Nadim. They're Pakistani. Their children are enrolled at Seoul Christian School, and they were saved, and the Lord used the children to work in the parents' hearts, and they were saved this past summer. And we praise the Lord for what he is doing in their lives. They now cannot go back to Pakistan. Their lives, they've gotten, well, their son on Facebook said, we are now Christians. And so then they began getting emails from their family and said, you come back to Pakistan and we will kill you. And so their lives are threatened. And even their parents said, you are not getting any inheritance now. So they're completely cut off. Pray for encouragement for Mr. and Mrs. Nadim. There's evidence of real growth there, and we thank the Lord for what he has done through the prayers of God's people for these. This is April. April's from Washington State. She came to Korea teaching English. There are many English institutes Koreans are very, very passionate about learning English. April came, and she actually came and worked at an institute where one of her university, one of her fellow, what do you call it, fellow students? Classmates, that's the word I wanted. Classmates from a university here in the States was working already. Beth was her name. Beth is a real evangelist. And Beth gave her the gospel, gave April the gospel. April began coming to our church. You saw where we sat down and ate together? Well, many discussions about salvation went on around those tables. And April, one time, she said, I'm not a sinner. You know, what do you think I am? Well, she kept coming. And one Sunday, she came up to me afterwards and she said, Pastor, I need to be saved. And so the Lord saved her. And we praise the Lord for that. And this here is April's wedding. April was introduced to a fine young man, a Korean Christian young man. They were married on July the 7th, and I had the joy of joining them in marriage. On the left, almost all the people on the left are North Koreans. And all the people on the right are from our church. Her husband is a North Korean. He escaped about 7 years ago. He heard the gospel first in China, and then it wasn't until he came to South Korea that he trusted Christ. But pray for April and Chung Sung. Chung Sung is her husband. Chung Sung has a real burden to reach his people with the gospel. This is Ed and Amber Myers. Ed and Amber were married August the 11th. Ed is a core part of our church. He teaches, he preaches. Ed has a passion for North Korea as well. And pray for Ed and Amber as they seek the Lord's direction for reaching North Korea. This is at their wedding. Almost all of those people except two people are either now or have been part of our ministry in Seoul. We praise the Lord. We looked at this picture and said, wow, it just grows over the years. But all these people just had such an integral part in the Lord's work, and we're so thankful for them. And I want to leave you with this tonight, a burden for North Korea. You notice China is directly above it. Have you seen this picture before? It's a satellite picture of the Korean Peninsula at night. See where South Korea is, then North Korea, and then China. What do you see there? Well, it's dark, yeah. And that's mainly because they don't have a lot of money up there, and they're not generating a lot of electricity. But you know what? It's really a picture of what they are spiritually as well. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But pray for the believers in North Korea. And pray for the spread of the gospel. Well, pray for us as we train men for the ministry and church planting. And provide a church home for English-speaking foreigners and Koreans. As we prepare to reach North Korea with the gospel. Now, do I have time? What time do I need to be done here? Okay, 8 o'clock. Let's see, what time is it now? 7:42, okay. I want to go through some information about North Korea. Information on North Korea. This is from Voice of the Martyrs, all right? And here's what they say on their website. North Korea's isolated regime is the most oppressive in the world. Notice that, the most oppressive. North Koreans are indoctrinated with an ideology called Juche, a philosophy of self-reliance that centers on worship of the country's leaders. The population is 99.8% Korean, with the remainder being Chinese, ethnic Japanese, and other ethnicities. All groups are systematically prevented from hearing the gospel and are punished for responding favorably. The category of this nation is a restricted nation. Religion, non-religious, 18.5%, Christian, 0.5%, and that's just a facade. Ideology, a one-man dictatorship, it's communism. Head of state, general secretary, chairman, supreme commander, Kim Jong-un, a little shaved head kid. Okay. Also, let's continue here. Here's what they say. North Korea is the worst perpetrator of persecution against Christians in the world. Christians are tortured, imprisoned, and murdered. Private, non-state sanctioned religious activity is prohibited. Anyone discovered engaging in clandestine religious activity is subject to arrest, torture, or even public execution. But the North Korean government is careful to maintain its facade of religious freedom. When Christians are executed, they are typically charged with being spies or being involved in illegal activities. As many as 100,000 believers are thought to worship secretly. Experts estimate that of the hundreds of thousands incarcerated in labor and concentration camps, about 30,000 are Christians. Religious prisoners are typically treated worse than any of the other inmates. Many North Korean Christians have fled to China, where there are an estimated 100,000 to 200,000 North Koreans. When these refugees are caught by the Chinese government, they are repatriated to North Korea, where they face torture, imprisonment, and often death. And as a result, North Korean refugees flee to a number of other places around Southeast Asia. The North Korean defectors are often considered to be ignorant and are unwanted in many countries. I could expand on a lot of that there. But here are some sources. Maybe I can make this available. I can email this to the pastor. And if you want to keep up with current conditions in North Korea. And the first one, Voice of the Martyrs, from which I just quoted. Then there's Helping Hands. Tim Peters, he is in Korea. He is a missionary, and that's a good website to see the condition, the religious condition of North Korea. Daily NK and NK Net are secular websites that are crusading for human rights in North Korea, but it's very, very informative. And I can make that available. All right. Any questions? Is it information? You go, oh.
North Korea is always posturing militarily. Of course, the shot heard around the world yesterday from them.
It's both. It's real. They did go, South Korea is on a high state of emergency yesterday, military. Every time North Korea does something like that, they are put on their highest state of readiness. The North Koreans are unpredictable. And a lot of times we think, well, they're bark is worse than their bite, but we don't want to ever test their bite. And they do posture, they're posturing like this, and they become belligerent like this nearly all the time to get something. So, and what they really want to do, they really want to sit down one-on-one with the United States to make a peace treaty for the Korean War. It's just a ceasefire. It ended in the ceasefire was signed in 1953, but there's never been any peace treaty. And they would feel if they have to deal with South Korea, Their South Korea is, that's too demeaning. They want to deal with the big guy. It makes them look big. And so that is the main thing that's going on, I think, all the time. But they're always doing something in order to get something. And unfortunately, they usually get it. But it is, they are a threat. They are a threat. Other, yes. We have, there's at least one man who is really interested. To say to go to North Korea, there's no way that anybody can go to North Korea, the South Koreans. But yeah, we have some that are interested in posturing themselves whenever it is ready to open and to do other things that to be able to get the gospel in even now to North Korea. I think that that's hard, a question to answer, but I've thought about that before, and I think that a lot of them truly believe. Yeah, but there's a lot also that they see right through it. So there's both. We met a man in a restaurant a couple years ago. He was also a refugee from North Korea, and he was actually working for some South Korean government body. And we were actually surprised the way he started talking, that he talked very highly of, at that time it was Kim Jong-il, the former president. And so I don't know. So there's that kind. They think very highly of that system. So. Any other questions? Yes. I think it was the last statement on that quote from the Voice of the Martyrs, that a lot of times the North Koreans are treated as not intelligent. That's exactly the way many South Koreans feel toward North Koreans. They do not accept North Koreans. And so if the country were to come together again, there's going to be a lot of problems I'm talking about, the average South Korean accepting North Koreans. The language it's Korean language, but there's a lot of differences in the language as well. And so there's going to be the South Koreans generally do not accept North Koreans. And it's hard for North Koreans really to function in South Korea after they've been brought in. Any other questions? Yeah, there are a lot of I think that there's some efforts that we don't know about, and the reason we don't know about it is because it has to be kept secret. But one effort that was not kept secret, I think it was this past July. I don't know whether the Voice of the Martyrs, they were the ones orchestrating this, but they used some helium balloons with Bibles and also gospel tracts in them, and from a city that's close to the border, and they let those things go. They were supposed to send out 40 of them. Something happened to the helium. They were only able to send 10 of them. But apparently the wind was blowing that way. There was a typhoon that was blowing. This was done. There was method to this, and the wind took it right into North Korea. So there are those kinds of things. Other question? Okay. Well, we'll be probably back there someplace after the service. And again, thank you so much for co-laboring with us. We love you folks, and sure good to be here tonight. And thank Pastor for the opportunity. Thank you.